Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tired of losing power? Feeling powerless? Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a free estimate on a whole home standby generator. Never be without power again. Fully installed systems starting at just $99 a month. Power your sump pump, your fridge, your freezer, your garage doors, your heating and cooling so your home stays safe and comfortable. Four Seasons is the largest and most award-winning Generac dealer in Illinois.
For the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Todd Shrupp, FanDuel TV racing host, and I have done my research on the Derby this year. How much have you paid attention specifically to this Derby?
We've done some research. We've done some prep. Actually, I feel like we should have Lewis on for a second because Lewis has been talking Derby every time he comes on this radio station. So to ignore him right now wouldn't be right. Lewis, what questions do we need to ask our guest about this upcoming race?
I'm not quite sure because I'm not through studying, but ask your guest because they just scratched Rodriguez, and Rodriguez is one of the fastest horses in the race. And he might scratch Grande and American Promise, and that's going to leave the door open for journalism. Journalism is the horse to beat. But,
so Rodriguez is out and American Promise is out, which is great. We went to you because I was probably going to ask him about both those horses.
And Grande, American Promise and Grande might get scratched.
Okay, because Rodriguez was the Bob Baffert horse, so that's like a big deal because Baffert is obviously, exactly. He's got his 3-year deal that's now up and he's ready to go. And Lewis, man, I'm glad we talked to you.
I'm going to call tomorrow because I'm not done studying. I'm going to give you my picks tomorrow.
All right, keep studying.
How do you study? Do you just watch a lot of film? You watch a lot of horse film?
No, analytics. I break it down. I have analytics. I do analytics.
Okay, walk us through some of those analytics.
Well, I take the first quarter, and if it's a specific time, I use a specific numbers, and I come up with their average stride.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first maybe quarter, maybe like 54 average stride, and I'll do it up until like 9 furlongs and see if it decreases or increases. And I average in their time and all that good stuff.
All right, early analytics, how are we feeling about, is that why you felt so good about journalism here? Is that early on?
Some say journalism is dead in 2025. I'm glad you like it, Lewis.
But this horse is quite alive, I assure you.
Actually, journalism, the estimate time at 10 furlongs, he had the fourth fastest 10 furlongs. But journalism is just, he's so disciplined. He's disciplined, and he looks like he's not 3. I mean, whatever the jockey asks him to do, he does.
So you think he looks more like maybe like a mature 4-year-old?
Do we have a Danny Almonte situation on our hands here?
Definitely. So journalism is the horse to beat. But I'm going to find somebody to beat him tomorrow.
All right. Look at that, Lewis. Very comprehensive.
Journalism is like 19-year-old Albert Pujols. Now, no one knows how old he actually is.
Now, do you gauge journalism? Like, do you walk like a 3-year-old filly in front of him to let him shake it a little bit just to see how the horses react?
Oh, he's not actually the right age. I don't know what's...
professionalism?
I don't know what's right in that world. I'm not sure.
That's like very mature horse.
I like you asking about like the all-22 version of a horse race, though.
Like, what film are you watching? Like,
what's funny about horse racing, though, is you learn how to read the books, and then you really do. You don't watch any. You watch zero of these horses actually race. It just goes all off the times and all off their measurements and everything else associated with it. It's a lot like a lot of the NFL draft pundits. They watch zero actual film and just are like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, they checked the boxes here, and he did this and that, and here we go. It's like, okay.
Hey, did you just take a shot at every draft analyst? You say Mel Kiper hasn't watched the film?
I didn't say all. I said some.
Oh, but did you correlate that to all racing analysts?
No, all racing analysts, they watch these races, sure. But yeah, it's more like what Lewis said. They do. They look at the book, and then they look at the times, they look at the splits, and then they go from there.
So it sounds like you think you could do a better job of scouting horses than actual analysts.
If I thought I could, I would do it.
I mean, not now.
Why are you trying to twist this into that?
I'm just trying to find out. You just seem very dismissive of
some
draft analysts.
No, I was explaining to you, the non-horse racing enthusiast over there, why Lewis didn't really have to watch any of the horse racing in order to understand what's going on with these horses.
Now I understand. You don't have to watch horse film to get ready for the Derby.
They just don't. They don't in that world.
So we are waiting on Todd Shrupp, FanDuel TV racing host there. And this is an inexperienced crop of horses. That was one of the first things I read about this one. 20 horses, though. I mean, boy howdy. They got 20 of them.
Boy howdy.
That's how you talk around the Derby.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't know this.
The Derby has the largest field. That's how this works.
When I was working at Northfield, boy howdy was said every other so-and-so. It was like...
Well, that's why you controlled the camera operator for turn three.
Boy, howdy, you look fast! That's how you yelled down to him.
Yeah, you didn't get there without doing that.
Yeah, no. It wasn't by mistake, I'll tell you that right now. You ever watch horse film?
Yeah, no, not a thing for me.
Okay.
I watched a lot of horse races, though. Okay. I'll tell you that much. A lot of horse races.
Can you tell more if you watch them in person? Or if you watch, again.
I did all simulcast. I was at a horse track that had live racing. So that was a real thing. But it was a lot of simulcast.
It is time to get to the bottom of this Kentucky Derby and see. We're gonna split the juleps and all the great outfits. And we're just going to get right down to some real horse hockey here. As we've got a FanDuel TV racing host, Todd Shrupp, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Todd, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us. It's that one time a year where I don't have to explain what sport I work in. The first Saturday in May translates to all sports fans, so I'm really excited to be with you guys.
I guess we got to start here. What stands out about the crop of three-year-olds competing this year?
The horse who's the favorite, Journalism. I think he's as good of a favorite as we've seen coming to the Kentucky Derby since California Chrome in 2017. California Chrome came from the West Coast. He swept through the Derby, swept through the Preakness, and then, of course, didn't complete the Triple Crown, but he was a horse that I thought going into the Kentucky Derby was far and away the horse to beat, and Journalism is definitely that horse as well.
How much of an impact is not having Rodriguez and American Promise in the field now?
It affects the pace dramatically, but the interesting part about the pace in the Kentucky Derby, it only takes one. It only takes one horse to kind of run off into that first turn, and if you get ridiculous fractions early on, then everybody's back in the race. So the two horses it comes down to are Citizen Bull and East Avenue. Coming into the year, East Avenue was the three-year-old everybody was looking at, and then he flopped in his first start in Louisiana. He came back in the Bluegrass Stakes over at Keeneland on the other side of Kentucky here during the Keeneland Spring Meet. He ran a huge race to be second, getting out on the lead. Citizen Bull draws the rail. That's going to be a problem even for a speed horse. The rail is difficult in the modern era of the Derby. So from a pace point of view, you're looking at two horses removed from the field that are, it's going to affect the pace. But I think ultimately, Journalism is a tractable horse, and he's the type of horse that he doesn't need necessarily some type of pace meltdown where others in the field, a good example of that would be Sandman. Sandman in the Arkansas Derby had the best setup of any winner of any Kentucky Derby prep race this year. He had two horses who went out, ran insane fractions for the mile and an eighth, and he benefited. I don't think he's ultimately going to get that in the Kentucky Derby, but Journalism doesn't need to necessarily worry about a fast pace in front of him because he's always going to be in a good striking spot.
Todd, you mentioned something there that I always get fascinated about how the race changes over time and how it changes with the current product of racing. So why is the rail as a draw? Why is that more difficult in the current Derby era?
Well, I will say this. They've done everything. They've gone out of their way to make sure that it's not a complete hindrance. If we had this conversation 20 years ago, I would never think about any horse along the rail. But they have changed the type of starting gate that they use. They've also changed just the layout of the rail. And so I'm not going to say you can't win from the one hole, but you also have to think into the context of it's 20-horse field. So if you're on the inside, essentially everyone is bearing down on you at the start of the race, even if you're a horse that has speed. So you have to use a lot of horse in that opening quarter mile. The rail is not as difficult as it was 20 years ago. It's not as easy it was when they started the Derby over 150 years ago. It's somewhere in between. And I think the problem with the rail and the horse who's there is Citizen Bull is just not good enough to win this race and take them gate to wire.
Todd, I always like to look at trainer and jockey when I look at the Derby. I always think that matters so much, and it's something that I just lean on. Rosario and Tiztastic, that seems like a winning combination there for me.
Well, here's the thing. Steve Asmussen is like, you know, think of other sports where you have the coach who's never won the big game, but he's always got wins in the regular season that puts him right there, and he can't break through. Think about players who are in that category, just can't win the championship, but they're consistent winners. Steve Asmussen owns every record you could think of amongst trainers in thoroughbred racing. Nobody's won more races by him in a career. He's won more than 10,000. No one's won more races in one season than Steve Asmussen. But the one thing he cannot answer yes to is winning the Kentucky Derby. So he trains Tiztastic, and he trains another horse in the race called Publisher. But Publisher is a maiden. He's never won before. It's a true rarity to have a maiden won in the Kentucky Derby, to win it as well. So Steve Asmussen is without a doubt one of the best trainers. But when you talk about jockey trainer combinations, there's a big zero next to Steve Asmussen, and that is something eventually he'll get by and win. I'm not sure it's going to be this year.
Todd, who will have a better 2025, Journalism the Horse or Actual Journalism?
So that's the thing. When I look at the name and then I look at Publisher in the race, I'm wondering, is there your exacta if people want to play names? But I have to say, I have hope for Journalism when I come to the Kentucky Derby. And what I love about this sport is there are more stories here than anywhere else. Maybe you could draw a parallel to baseball as far as the interesting characters. But I think of some of the stories over the history of the Kentucky Derby. And one of them, there's the 60th anniversary of the late Bill Shoemaker, who's considered without a doubt one of the best riders of all time. He had won the Kentucky Derby in back-to-back years. And so in 1965, he was riding one of the favorites, trying to win for the third year in a row, a horse called Lucky Debonair. And this will show you how times have changed. He was at a party the night before he had to work out Lucky Debonair just 4 days before the Kentucky Derby. They got to 3 a.m. He's sitting in his tuxedo, and he says to his friends, "Should we just go straight to the barn?" And the rumor is that the great veterinarian Alex Hardhill, who was a good friend of Bill Shoemaker, is like, "Let's just go to the barn." So Bill Shoemaker showed up at the barn to work out Lucky Debonair in his tuxedo. He changed out into riding boots. He took off the jacket, but the rest of his tuxedo remained, and he worked out a horse on the main track here at Churchill Downs. That's just one story out of 151 runnings of this amazing race. And I can tell you, there are even more fascinating stories on a daily basis in horse racing. So when you talk about journalism in 2025, and I relate it to horse racing, I think the Kentucky Derby is one of the greatest events to cover because of the stories. And one just, you know, point to this year's field. The best story in the race is a trainer by the name of Lonnie Briley. And he has Coal Battle in this race. Coal Battle was purchased for just $60,000. In a sport where someone like Bob Baffert, early in the year, he had a horse called Barnes, who was a $3.2 million purchase. Barnes didn't make it to the race. But here is Lonnie Briley with a $60,000 horse who had a huge spring and is going to be a factor in this race. You can't help but cheer for someone like that. And the media has done a very good job covering that story. I know on FanDuel TV, we were one of the first to do a profile of him. And it's something that got a huge response from our audience and is now kind of taken off with the national media.
When it comes to Bob Baffert, he's going to be all over the pregame, I would imagine. How can you relate that to maybe not a great or big horse racing fan, the ups and the downs that's happened there?
Well, here's the thing. I look at Bob Baffert as one, everybody knows Bob Baffert. He's a public relations machine for the game, good or bad. He's coming back after the 3-year suspension, but still, everybody knows Bob Baffert. And most people will gravitate their money towards a Bob Baffert-trained horse in the Derby. But I look at him like a great athlete who is now in the final chapter of his career. say a LeBron James. How many more championships does a LeBron James have? If we take Bob Baffert, I think people forgot along the way because he looks the same with the shocking white hair. He's 72 years old. In this race, Dwayne Lucas was to have American Promise at the age of 89. So let's just think for a moment. Bob Baffert, if he extends his career another 15 years, how many Kentucky Derbies will he win? I personally think he may not win another one. And a lot of people are like, well, no, he's always going to have the best horses. He's always going to have the good situation out in California. But I look at that as the peak athlete we saw for Bob Baffert. His peak years were 2015 with American Pharoah, who won the Triple Crown, 2017 with Justify, who won the Triple Crown. And now he's facing the headwinds of what's going on with California Racing, where he's based. He's facing the headwinds of other people have caught up to Bob Baffert when it comes to the Derby. And here's the thing. The most expensive horse doesn't always win. Unlike other sports where you have a luxury tax, if you're a Chicago White Sox fan, after the first pitch on opening day, you know you're not going to the World Series. But in our sport, it's an even playing field. You cannot buy the Kentucky Derby. So having, quote unquote, the best horses doesn't mean you're going to win Derby after Derby after Derby. So when I look at Bob Baffert coming back after this three-year suspension, I don't see him in the same way that he was before the suspension. And I think the betting public needs to kind of catch up on that and realize, yes, Bob Baffert is an excellent trainer. Yes, he has great resources. But the Kentucky Derby is an even playing field each and every year.
Todd, this call was a win for journalism. Great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
I appreciate the time. And like I said, you guys have a phenomenal show covering all sports. And we really appreciate the time that you give to horse racing.
Very much appreciate that. Thank you so much. Todd Schrupp there, FanDuel TV racing host on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll be moving on with the LeBron's non-committal comments after the Lakers got bounced from the playoffs. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.